Thank you very much, Mel, and hope everybody's had a good lunch. I've written up a copy of a report from the Doctrinal Committee for your perusal, and pass it out to all of you. Victor Kubik and Roy Holliday and myself are the current Doctrinal Committee. I don't think Victor and Roy really know that, because we've been so busy doing so many other things. But I'm not going to take a lot of time explaining things, but you'll find three papers were given to you. And the one was the Doctrinal Committee report, February, March 11, which is the one that I made up. It says members Robert Brand, Victor Kubik, Roy Holliday. The second paper was a Doctrinal Committee report, which was handed or given to us in December by Mike Blackwell on behalf of the Doctrinal Committee at that time. And then the third was a report that was made in a bit earlier called the Private and Confidential Report of the Doctrinal Committee, just to help us know what is going on and what's happening. Our problem, of course, is that we have information coming to us that is very important for the church, and the conducting of it, looking at it, hasn't always been clearly handled, partly because the Doctrinal Committee has changed dramatically, and also partly because we work with a task force, a doctrinal task force, which is not always clearly defined. The whole system is not clearly defined, which we will and certainly should be doing. So I'm going to, just on the one paper I've given you, you maybe want to follow with me on the Doctrinal Committee report, February to February and March 11. That's for this one here. Of course, I just explained this to you about the changes, the resignations, and that we have certain things we need to be looking at. And one is this request to extend the time for giving access to doctrinal papers to the GCE, so we can post it for GCE members to look at and comment and reply to the doctrinal committees. We also don't seem to have a clear path to know what is to be done with what comes through the doctrinal committee, because sometimes it's a personal question, sometimes it's something which does affect the doctrine, and sometimes it's just a question which perhaps pertains to a member. And yet that can be very difficult as well, as we noticed with the question of the Sabbath I had from Chile. That was a personal member request to look at their situation. But because of all the difficulties that we were going through at the time, it became very public, as all of us know. And those are the kind of areas that we work in. So we still have a few things to work on. I've listed them down here, number one, two, and three. What happens to a decision about a personal paper or a question? What's made by the doctrinal committee? Do we just reply to the person and then is it forgotten? It should be, I would think, filed somewhere in our doctrinal responses. And also, we do have several papers that have been on the books, you might say, or we're working out, have been working out by different groups for a long span of time. We don't seem to ever have them completed. The paper on the early man was one. Deuteronomy 16 and Matthew 18, those three papers are sort of hanging in the air for quite a long time. And even the paper on human nature, which I thought was pretty well conducted, but I read in here on the doctrinal committee report by Mike Blackwell, a previous one, an update on a study paper on human nature was declared deficient by the doctrinal committee. Well, I was on the doctrinal committee, and I don't recall that kind of a declaration. But that paper, I believe, is clear, and so the next question would be, how do we handle it? Write it up and give it to the Council of Elders. But the concern I have is once we do that, once we write it up and give it to the Council of Elders, then where does it go from there? It goes to our secretary, I would imagine. But if it's a policy, then we have to include it in our policies somewhere. If it's an answer to a personal question, we would file that somewhere, but nevertheless keep record of it. So these are the areas that we're not sure on what we should actually, or how we should actually do it. So perhaps one of the first things we can all agree on is to have a clear path of process between the doctrinal task force, the doctrinal committee, the council of elders, and then where does it go from there? The doctrinal questions that come in are obviously very sensitive. Sometimes they are repeats of questions which have been answered before. And if that's the case, then it would be quite easy to just reply by sending the conclusions that were drawn earlier than that. But this report that I've given you, please keep track of the one which is my report today, and attached to it are two other papers which just to help you also understand what we're still looking at. And for all of us on the council, that will be coming to you as soon as we clarify who the doctrinal committee really is, because it may be changing in May, and how we're going to be able to present these papers to you and through the council itself. The process is as important as the material itself. So that, Mr. Chairman, is the report of the Doctrinal Committee. Under 5 minutes.
Wonderful. Very good. Thank you. Hopefully everybody else can do exactly the same.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
I have a quick question for Mr. Barron. Since I've been getting into the doctrines as I've been teaching here this week and last at ABC, going through the fundamentals of belief, going back into all those subjects, the thought occurred to me, and Randy and I talked about it last week since he's doing doctrine teaching as well. With the division that's taken place and the departure of some who were very heavily involved with the formulation of the doctrines at the beginning of the United Church of God and everything, the need for us to have an archive of discussions, decisions, certainly our papers, approved papers, but even as much of background material to me seems to be very important that we begin to accumulate and put into an archive, digital or otherwise, for the history of the United Church of God. And I don't know how much the committee has on that, but this may be an issue to discuss because I see a need to pull together into a one source, a history, a paper trail, if you will, as much as we possibly can for our own internal history.
That's actually absolutely correct, and just using different words is what I said. I mean, we do have to have some kind of a record of all these things in the archives, and these would be excellent. The previous chairman of the doctrine committee didn't leave anything for me, just was gone. And that's a problem, of course, that we haven't got an ongoing system whereby when the doctrinal committee changes or the chairman changes, that the material is forwarded. I didn't get any 3 or 4 years ago when I became the first time I became the chairman. Didn't get anything just recently either. So this stuff just seems to have vanished with everybody. And you're right, we need to have a system whereby it's handled and archived. And then we can get into it again later on. That's very good. So Gerald's going to take note of that, aren't you?
I was going to mention that I believe I have most of it, at least the time I was secretary. I think I have everything approved on file, or at least I have a hard copy of it in there. But most of it is an electronic version.
Well, that's a place to start. Of course, we've got approved papers on our website, and there's a great deal of material there. But sometimes, just for our own internal story, to know how we got there, especially since 1995, I think is important for us to have archived.
Yeah, the research notes and things like that that the individuals, various ones have produced in the process.
Various challenges have been made to the Sabbath or to some other teacher.
That I wouldn't have, because it came here to the council after it had been through the committee, and most of that was never discussed.
Yeah, a lot of that went to the subcommittee. That's the first place those documents would go. And a lot of times they would be answered and never even come to the doctrinal committee.
I wonder if we would want to make a formal request to get at least copies of that information.
That would be excellent. The doctrinal task force, I think, needs to be reestablished with a chairman who would do that and then forward whatever they're working on to perhaps the chairman of the doctrinal committee or to Gerald for filing. But it definitely should be kept track of and filed. It'd save a lot of work, because when the question is repeated again, you know, then you've got all the information right there, and you can just send it to the person.
All right, thank you. Now a report from the chairman of the Ethics Committee, Mario Segli.
Good afternoon to everyone. I'd like to go over, first of all, the members of the Ethics Committee. We have 4 members on the Ethics Committee, Robin Weber, Scott Ashley, Darris McNeely, and myself. We have 1 matter on the docket, the sexual misconduct policy for the ministry. This past week, we had an Ethics Committee teleconference where we did go over the draft that was compiled by our church council and advisory legal counsel, Larry Darden. And there are a number of questions and issues, mostly legal, that came up. Larry Darden is advising us of some of these points, and we were able to compile this initial draft, which we plan to present to the council for them to just go over. There are some legal sensitive material. This is something that we do have to get it right, and so we will, as a council, go over the draft so that we can then continue to finalize any legal or other issues on the paper. So it is quite lengthy. It's 13 pages long. It's been compiled by 10 different ministers, and then they all brought in their input. Larry Darden took all of that and whittled it down, and so we're on that stage now where it's already a paper, but there's still some sensitive issues that we do want to get this properly done. So the council needs to give us all their input. So we're planning on that.
Thank you. The executive committee, of which I'm chairman, has not met. We've had quite a few problems the last few weeks, as you know. The administration and council members have met, usually on the phone, dealing with those particular issues. So there's nothing to report. Okay, the chairman of the media committee, Dennis McNeely, is next.
Did you just give a committee report?
That's what it was.
Not really. Executive committee.
Well, there isn't. The executive committee hasn't really done anything.
Well, I don't start to take notes until you stand up. So.
Oh. Well, I'll keep that in mind. Okay. It was next on the list, so I thought I had to say something.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The media committee has held one teleconference since the last meeting, and we were discussing a proposal put forth by Bill Eddington, one of the members of the committee. And that is in regard to the publications of making some changes in the publications of the church, primarily the Good News. And that will be presented actually in a full presentation tomorrow afternoon, so I think I'll just save any further comments for that point in time. We did have a discussion. We will be bringing a recommendation to the council for council direction on how to proceed forward along with the media operations area. So we'll discuss that tomorrow afternoon.
Thank you. Rolls and Rills, Bill Eddington.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good afternoon, everybody. The Roles and Rules Committee also has been quite inactive since the December Council meeting. As you all know, we've had quite serious distractions and disruptions since that time. So we have not met, but we do have a meeting planned this afternoon, immediately following the Council meeting. We're going to discuss two particular issues. One is the Fundamental Beliefs Amendment Committee, the look at the timing and the scheduling for any fundamental beliefs that are received. There haven't been any for some time. And also looking at a procedure for resolution seeking 25% support from the General Conference of Elders. They're two of the matters that we have under discussion, but we really do need a face-to-face meeting to go through some documentation, so we did not do that by teleconference. Everything else that we've been dealing with for some time, but because of other issues arising from time to time, we haven't been able to bring them to finality, but every one of them is on the docket for this council meeting. So we're very hopeful that we'll have time to discuss them during this session of the council and have some decisions made which will enable us to take them off our long-standing list of things to do and move on to some more things. But that's all we have for you at the moment.
Thank you. And last but not least, the Strategic Planning and Finance Committee, Mr. Weber.
Thank you, Mr. Rhodes, and good afternoon, everybody. We have been active, as the other committees have been. I'd like to introduce the members of our committee, and that is Scott Ashley and Aaron Dean and Vic Kubik and myself. And then also I've asked in a honorary fashion for Roy Holiday to be involved because he was a chairman before the strategic committee, so that always helps a lot. I spoke to the council last time in our special meeting and took about a half hour, 35 minutes. My comments will be short. We're kind of in a three-stage step program right now. We had that conversation with all of you in late January, that we have an opportunity to rethink, perhaps not redo, but at least rethink everything as we move into this new chapter of the United Church of God. We have new realities, and as we heard this morning, future opportunities. And I like to match those words together. I like the word new, and new realities, and future opportunities. Primarily what we're looking at is strategically and with the operations and with the finances, we're looking how to couple, and I think of Aaron's comments. He's mentioned it a couple of times, and that is a work of faith, that we're not just a prophet organization, we're a church. We serve God. And so first and foremost, we need to be a work of faith. Faith is not always something that you put in one of these books other than in black and white and in type. Faith is what's got to generate the United Church of God. So in one sense, work of faith, but then because we do have to be responsible for the donations of our brethren, we also want to have the prudence of a Joseph who planned 7 years ahead as God directed him. So I hope as a chairman this year that I'm going to continue to work with a work of faith on one side and balance it out with the prudence of our friend Joseph. We've already gone through the first two steps. I talked to you last time. We did have a 90-minute conversation with our committee about 2.5 weeks ago. We invited some to come in amongst with us. We had our president with us. I sent all of those notes out to you, so I don't want to go through them again. It was a very friendly conversation. It's nice when you have the treasurer right now on our committee. It takes all the burden off of me, but that our conversation was very cordial. I think it allowed us to and allowed the administration to hear from certain members of the council what we were thinking, what we were hoping, what we were concerned about. I think we all went away on the same page. I think we'll be getting back to some other things later, which I won't go into right now. So we're moving forward. We've in what I offered in three steps, we've already accomplished the first two. After this round of meetings, we'll be having more meetings as we haven't had an opportunity to review everything. As everybody is saying, we're in a very unique time and we need to be moving, but we are going to ultimately be planning so for the general conference that we can really examine in detail the strategic plan, the operation plan, the different strategic risk, and we will probably be at one time or another going through that entire exercise again as a council. So that's it for now, gentlemen.
Thank you.